Well, it is so good to worship Jesus together today here at Newcastle Bible Church. He's a God of resurrection. He's a God of life. And it is a joy to celebrate him together in our worship. So I'd invite you to prepare now for the reading of God's word as you take your copy of Scripture and open it to Hebrews chapter 13. Just like our partner church in East Peoria today, they're studying in Hebrews. We're going to study in Hebrews. So we're in Hebrews chapter 13, looking at verse 17. If you don't have a Bible with you today, don't worry. There's not one under your seat. There's one coming down the aisle right to you. All you have to do is raise your hand, and we would love to give you a copy of God's word. You can take it home as our gift to you, or just return it to the tables at the exits at the end of our hour together if you so wish. But please open your Bible to Hebrews 13, verse 17. Just a review, a little bit about where we've been so far in this month of January in our pulpit series together. If you remember, every January we take a month of focusing on topical messages that are especially relevant to the life of our church. And so this January, we've been focusing on key spiritual disciplines. The first Sunday of the month, we focused on James chapter 1 and this habit of grace by which we take God's word and we hear God's word and then we seek to obey it and apply it so that we would not be deceived. Then the next week, we talked about prayer. I preached a message called Because You Prayed, and we thought about the grace habit of prayer for the Christian life. Then on Sanctity of Life Sunday, we celebrated God's infinite wisdom and his knowledge of us by looking at Psalm 139. And then last Sunday, we opened our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we talked about giving God's way and this amazing habit of grace for generous sacrificial giving. So if you're newer to our church family, thanks for your patience with these messages have tended to be a little bit more topical than what is normal when we are walking through a passage of Scripture verse by verse sequentially throughout time on our normal preaching. But these January messages do serve a very important purpose for us as a church family because they remind us of these basic fundamental aspects of Christian living that help us to fight sin and love Christ and enjoy him more and more through our Bible intake and our prayer and our giving and our understanding of God's love for us. So I don't want to just race past this. I think it's important for us just even to pause it right now and reflect about what God has been teaching us so far this month. And I just want to ask, you know, how is your life changing because of the ministry of the sermons that you've been exposed to so far in January of 2022. After all, we must always approach the preaching of God's word with a humble heart, right? Because if we come and just nod in agreement and say, man, that was good, that was right, but then we leave and we don't change based on what we've heard, so we're just a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, the Bible says, if that's the case, we just deceive ourselves. And we're only piling up greater accountability for our judgment. So church, that's why we pray up before we show up every Sunday morning. Because we are expecting God's Spirit to use God's word every gathering of the church to make us all more like God's Son together. So I just want to encourage you, keep up your daily Bible reading, church. Keep praying God's providential, sovereign will into our experience of this life. Keep giving generously and sacrificially in response of worship to God. Keep trusting that God loves you and he knows you and he cares for you. Because it's these grace habits that will help us overcome sin and stay content in our union with Christ every day. Now today then, we're going to focus on Hebrews 13, verse 17, as we consider the advantage of church membership. Since we're only reading one verse today, I'm not going to ask you to stand like we normally do to focus our attention on the reading of the word. Instead, I'm going to see if anybody's sleeping on us here. We're going to just all read this one single verse together out loud. So are you ready? All right, let's read it together, Hebrews 13, verse 17, and we're going to read it from up on the screen from the ESV translation. that reads like this: Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. And that's the reading of God's word. Let's pray together before we meditate on this in our message. Father God, the verse we've just read together is both terrifying and thrilling all at the same time. It's full of responsibility and it's full of joy. So I pray for your help. Father, our hearts are overflowing already with praise because of the baptisms and the singing and the prayers, and you're an amazing God. You are absolutely worthy of our worship. You're absolutely worthy of our love. You deserve anything we could give to you. And so, Father, we want to give you ourselves right now. We want to give you our focus, our concentration. We just pray that you'd remove all distractions from us and that you would change us and make us more like Jesus as we submit to this single verse and give it authority in our lives. Please, Father, do a supernatural work among us for the sake of your glory and your praise and our joy, we ask. Amen. All right, I have two goals, church. I have two goals for today's message. First, I just want to accurately and passionately teach you what Hebrews 13, verse 17 means. I want all of us to just have a clear understanding, what does this verse mean and how does it impact my life on a daily basis? But I'm not content with simply informing you about the meaning of this verse. I want to persuade you. I want to persuade all of us to respond in faith and obedience to the life-giving commands of this text. So my second goal for today is to preach this verse in such a way that God will actually use it in our lives to produce repentance, to produce greater faith in him, to produce lasting joy among us. I am so excited about how our obedience to this verse could increase our joy together at Newcastle Bible Church. And if you're visiting today, I know we have a lot of visitors because of baptism. If you're part of a local church that's not our local church, this sermon has the power to increase your joy in your local church family. I'm so excited about it because once you start living this text, you will start to see how church membership brings great joy to your soul care. Church membership brings joy to your soul care. Now, perhaps more than any other scripture that I know, I believe this verse argues for Christians to pursue formal church membership within their local church. But of course, you would say, well, Pastor, I don't see the word church membership in here at all. Like, it doesn't even use the word. That's true. So just stick with me and bring a teachable heart. Because with God's help, I intend to show you from this one verse how something as simple as formal church membership in your local church is intended by God to increase your joy and the joy of the spiritual shepherds that serve you in God's care for your soul. Now, before we take a closer look at what this verse actually is teaching, let's answer the begging question of why. Why is this topic even necessary and needed for our congregation at a time like this? Well, because certainly a lot of pastors would shy away from ever preaching on a verse like this that calls people to obey and submit to their spiritual shepherds. Because no godly shepherd ever wants to do anything that's going to be perceived as coming across as a power play from the pulpit, right? No godly shepherd is wanting to be a bully pulpit. Because if you're a godly spiritual leader, you understand that guilt and fear and control will never produce true righteousness and godliness in the human heart. So let me be very clear from the beginning. I do not want today's sermon to be motivated at all by guilt or by fear or by control. I believe this topic is needed right now in our local church family for the sake of our joy. What's motivating my preaching of this text is our joy together. I'm so excited. So we must not let cultural pressures or sinful tendencies to rob us from God's profit that he intends to bring to all who hear and obey Hebrews 13:17. After all, we have to admit the current trends towards isolation and individualism are starting to impact our own fellowship here at Newcastle Bible Church. It's no secret, in the last 2 years, more and more of us have been significantly influenced to isolate away from personal, deep relationships and connections with other Christians. For a variety of reasons, we are currently living in a season of the greatest social experiment on isolation that our country has ever experienced. And as the weeks have turned into months and the months have turned into years, we now have more and more of our church family here at Newcastle Bible Church who no longer regularly gather together with us in person. So there's real concerns about real physical health issues that has now justified a whole new category of distant learners within our fellowship. Those who now more than ever are comfortable consuming our teaching ministries from their own living room on a Sunday morning. And loved ones, this trend towards isolation is not good for our souls. So we're seeing here in our church, volunteerism is down. Church tourism is up. And there's more and more people that seem to be just merely dating God's church all the time. So out of love and concern, and with a great desire for our greater joy together in Christ, oh, I believe we need to embrace Hebrews 13:17. God created every single one of us to benefit from biblical community, active participation in biblical community. God intends for every Christian not just to attend on Sunday morning. You say, well, okay, I'm not guilty right now because I'm here. You know, the pastor's preaching to the choir. I mean, we got a full room today, right? I'm here. No. God intends for every Christian not just to attend a church service once a week, but to be truly a committed part of his church. After all, the church is God's people. It's not a building. It's not a program. The church is God's people. And yet the broad trend in American evangelicalism today is to actually live more like Americans than like Christians. See, we rightly claim the doctrine of the priesthood of the believer. And we celebrate that glorious doctrine that every Christian is a priest in Christ. But then we wrongly reduce Christianity into something that's artificially minimized to the size of just Jesus and me. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 says, the body does not consist of just one member, but of many. So remember, in our salvation, God adopts us together into one family. Therefore, Christianity is necessarily a team sport. Biblical community is absolutely necessary for all of our perseverance and our spiritual growth. So while the self is the ultimate value for Americans, Jesus is the ultimate value for Christians. And Christ is very un-American at this point because he calls every one of his redeemed followers to die to self, to pick up our cross, to pursue loving community with others, and to sacrificially take risk for the sake of his glory and for the sake of his praise. Now, the second reason this topic is needed today is due to a climate of increasing distrust towards leadership. No matter if it's the CDC, or the President of the United States, or our state governor, or our school boards, or our police force, We are living in a time when it is considered both fashionable and respectable to believe the worst about anyone in a position of leadership. Therefore, Christians, we need to renew our minds. We need to wash our stinking thinking with the water of the Word, like Hebrews 13:17, so that we don't fall into the unbelief of cynicism and ingratitude. We must learn how to maintain a proper relationship with our God-appointed leaders, especially our God-appointed spiritual leaders, if we don't want to lose our joy in this climate of suspicious rebellion against all God-ordained authority. Finally, we need to talk about church membership today because there are so many common misconceptions and abuses of church membership around all of us. You have all kinds of extremes on this. Some believe that church membership is meaningless. It's absolutely pointless for contemporary Christianity. It's nothing more than an outdated leftover tradition from the past. Others wrongly equate church membership with salvation itself and say you're not saved unless you are a local member of a local church. Some believe that church membership is so permanent and lifelong that you would only want to enter into it after you had several years of prayerful consideration. And then others would say, well, no. Church membership is just no more meaningful than just being a regular attender of a local church for an extended amount of time. And then, of course, there's tragic examples that we all know of spiritual leaders abusing church membership to take advantage of church members and to use it as a means of power and selfish control. Regrettably, church membership has often been practiced in a fearful manner that's controlling, it's domineering, and it's contrary to God's good design. So for these reasons, and with eager zeal to lead us all to greater joy in Christ together, let's now walk through Hebrews 13:17. To discover at least three reasons that church membership is beneficial and advantageous for your soul. Three reasons for believing that it's not possible for a Christian to obey Hebrews 13:17 apart from pursuing formal church membership in their local church. Three reasons. First, write down this reason. Your soul needs more care than you alone can give it. Your soul needs more care than you alone can give it. Jeremiah 17:9 says it this way, the heart is deceitfully wicked and desperate. Ephesians 4:22 teaches your own self is corrupted by deceitful desires. And that's why Hebrews 3:13 calls every Christian to exhort one another while it is still today, as long as it's called today, so that none of you would be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So did you catch that? You need me, and I need you, so that I would not trust my own thinking as my sole understanding and perception for how I think I'm doing spiritually. We need each other to encourage us and to exhort us and to help each other for our growth in Christ. Your soul needs more care than you alone can give it. And of course, God knows this, right? He's the one that wrote the scripture, right? So that's why in Hebrews 13:12, just a few verses ahead of our verse today, we read that Jesus suffered outside the gate on the old rugged cross in order to sanctify the people for himself through his blood. Loved ones, no one can save themselves from sin's deceit. That's why Jesus died for us. That's why we need a Savior. Because even our own mind has been corrupted by sin. Jesus died in our place outside the gate on the cross in order to buy us back, redeem us from the curse of sin's deceitfulness, so that whoever believes in him and trusts in his resurrection will be saved forever. So you cannot save yourself, loved ones. You need Jesus. So don't be deceived. Put your faith and trust in Jesus, the Lord, so that you will be saved. And then once you are saved by God's amazing grace through faith alone and Christ alone, then Hebrews 13:17 teaches that God will give his saved people spiritual leaders who are keeping watch over your soul. That's what the verse says, right? They are keeping watch over your souls. We know that Hebrews 13:17 is referring to spiritual leaders, since these are the ones that are responsible for your soul care. Also back in verse 7, you'd look back in verse 7, these are the same leaders who spoke to you the word of God. They lived out their own faith in an exemplary manner before you in the church. And then also down in verse 24, after our verse, these are the same leaders that are connected with the saints and the assembly of the redeemed. So notice then this very un-American idea. Once you are saved, your soul care is the responsibility of your spiritual shepherds. Your soul care is the responsibility of your local church elders. Now, you personally are ultimately responsible before God for your salvation. No pastor can save you. No pastor is responsible for whether or not you believe in Jesus Christ or whether you reject Jesus Christ. You will stand before God and give an answer of your salvation before God alone. But once you are saved, God has designed every Christian to be spiritually shepherded. Notice at the end of the verse, for the advantage of your soul, for your profit, for your advantage. In other words, the aim of all pastoring and eldering is always the spiritual advantage of the souls under their care. So let me be clear about this. Pastors and elders are responsible before God to stay on the alert, to be vigilant, to be watchful for your spiritual salvation and growth in Christ. God doesn't just give you elders and pastors to watch over your ministry or to watch over your marriage and your family or to watch over your church attendance. No, 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 no. God holds the spiritual shepherds of your local church responsible for how they are taking care of your eternal soul. Your soul. That's the part of you, that's the eternal part of you that will last forever, either in heaven or in hell. And your soul needs more care, loved ones, than you alone can give it. So God gives you spiritual shepherds in your own local church whom he holds responsible to profit your eternity through their watchful prayers and their teaching and their modeling and their counseling and their care of you. Now just let that sink in. Does this offend you? Does it offend you that God has given you spiritual shepherds to help you persevere in your faith? Do you despise that your soul needs more spiritual care than you alone are able to give? Don't miss the advantage of God's good design. Loved ones, please, don't miss the advantage, the profit, the joy of God's good design. God gives us local church shepherds to care for our souls, for our eternal joy and profit and spiritual advantage. That's why here at Newcastle Bible Church, our pastors and elders, we take this verse very, very seriously. And we take our responsibility serious for the soul care of our members. So every week, every elder is assigned a rotating section of our members to pray for that week, individually, by name. So every week of the year and every year of your life that you are a member of this church, one elder here is praying specifically for every member individually by name every week. as we're faithfully seeking to watch over every soul that God has entrusted to our spiritual care. So clearly, the first reason that membership is beneficial is because it gives you a God-designed level of soul care that you are not able to give to yourself alone. And a related way to say this is our second reason why church membership is beneficial, and that is that your leaders will answer to God for their care of your soul. So don't miss this. Not only has God designed your eternal soul to be cared for by a plurality of spiritual leaders in your local church, but God is actually going to hold your pastors and elders responsible for how well they've cared for your soul through their spiritual ministry to you. Look at the text. As those who will have to give an account. So your spiritual leaders, those who are keeping watch over your souls, will have to answer to God for what? For how well they diligently cared for your soul. Now, church, you get to listen in. And I'm going to direct the next serious few minutes here just to the elders and pastors of this church. I don't know where you're all sitting, so hopefully you can hear my voice and you don't hide from me right now. But dear pastor, shepherd, elder brothers, we must never forget this charge from our chief shepherd. When we stand someday before the judgment seat of Jesus, God is going to ask us something like this. What did you do to preserve the faith of the souls that I entrusted to your care? What did you do to preserve the obedience of the members of Newcastle Bible Church? How did you live? How did you teach? How did you spend yourself in prayer? How did you spend yourself in counsel for the disobedient, for the suffering, for the perplexed, for the aging, for the lonely, for the teenagers that I entrusted to you? And brothers, my prayer is that we would so live together today in our soul care of this flock that on judgment day, we could reply by the grace of God at work in us. We could say, oh Lord, you know how much we love these flock. You know how much we love these people. These souls are my joy and my crown. By the power of your Spirit in me, I lived to lead every member under my watchful care into greater joy in you, into deeper affection, deeper and abiding joy that could not be destroyed by cancer, a joy in you that could not be destroyed by calamity, a joy in you that could not be destroyed by death. By your Spirit and through your will and through your calling, Lord, I gladly spent myself for the eternal joy of these, your children. Brothers, may God give us much grace. May God give us much power as we link arms and we link hearts together in this fraternity of suffering that we call soul care that will produce eternal glory and it will produce an eternal reward. And may we care for souls today, brothers in church here at Newcastle Bible Church. May you, elder, pastor, brothers, may we care for our souls of this flock together today with one eye on judgment day, with one eye waiting for the day when we will have an opportunity to give an account for how his grace worked through us in the shepherding of Newcastle Bible Church. See, Hebrews 13, 17, it's very clear, isn't it? Church, I'm talking back to you now. Church members are to live in such a way that spiritual shepherds can do this, meaning they can give an account of their soul care of their members with joy. Which leads us to the third benefit of church membership, which is your commitment. Your commitment to your local church actually fuels greater joy. Write down that word commitment, because that's not a popular word today, is it? No. But committing yourself to the spiritual soul care of an elder team at one particular local church is actually what formal church membership is all about, right? Formal church membership is just the practical way that Christians express their commitment to one particular local church against all the other expressions of Christ's body all around the world. So church membership is just the cultural way that we raise our hand and we say, yeah, I am committed to this particular body, this particular family, this particular mission and ministry, and I thereby receive the commitment of this spiritual shepherd to shepherd my soul. So when you become a formal church member, you are committing yourself to that local church's mission and ministry, and you are submitting yourself to the spiritual soul care of those specific shepherds in that particular local church. Because notice again what Hebrews 13, 17 teaches. The command is clear for every Christ follower. Obey your local church leaders and submit to them. Why? Why? So that they might be able to give an account for their spiritual care of you with joy and not with groaning on judgment day. In other words, when you become a church member, you are making your commitment to partner with and follow your local church leaders on their mission and ministry for the glory of God. You are agreeing to obey your leaders or to allow yourself to be persuaded by them and to join with them. You're not agreeing to follow them into sin. You don't follow your leaders when they call you to sin. But you are saying, and the scripture's clear, obey them, submit to them. You are saying when you become a church member that you're trusting God that the spiritual leaders of your local church, you're going to submit to them. You're going to trust them to lead you spiritually and watch over your soul through their prayers and through their teaching and through their counsel and through their ministry. You're agreeing to be teachable. You're agreeing to be humble. You're agreeing to allow yourself to be persuaded by the spiritual ministry of the soul care of this godly group of men that we call pastors and elders. So let me just say it real clear, because sometimes I use too many words. If you are a Christian, but you're not a formal member of a local church, I don't know how you can obey Hebrews 13, 17. You don't have to be a formal church member to obey a lot of New Testament commands about how to love other people and how to serve in ministry. But if you aren't a member of a local church, then you have no spiritual shepherds that are presently watching over your soul. You say, but I've attended my local church for years. I'm faithful in attendance. Do not be deceived. Obviously, the spiritual leaders of this church, they love every person who worships regularly with us. We're glad to teach, we're glad to pray, we're glad to serve every person who enters into our fellowship for any length of time. Of course we are. But we are not spiritually accountable for the souls of every Christian of every church across the world. We are not accountable for the souls of every visitor who walks through or every regular attender. We're not. We are accountable for the souls who have submitted under our leadership and committed to being part of our soul care. And that's what church membership does. So Hebrews 13, 17 commands every Christian to obey your local church leaders and submit to them so that someday, your spiritual shepherds can give an account of how they cared for your soul with joy and not with groaning, not with frustration, not with lack of cooperation, not with grief. Oh, church, I wish I could make it as clear to you as it seems to me in my head when I read this verse. Church membership brings joy. It brings tremendous joy to your soul care. Your joyful church membership and eager submission to your local church leaders helps them watch over your soul with joy. And then that gives them the gift of being able to give an account with joy for how they've seen you grow and flourish and thrive in obedience and spiritual growth as you respond to their prayers and teaching and counsel and coaching throughout the course of your life. It's just the same thing that Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. He says, not that we lord it over your faith, but we are workers together with you for your joy. So therefore, can I just be really bold today and say, overcome the dangers of isolation and individualism and embrace the biblical truth that your soul needs more care than you alone can give it. Stand strong in the power of God's Spirit against this climate of increasing distrust and suspicion against spiritual leaders. And instead, think carefully about the fact that your local church shepherds will answer to God for their care of your soul. And if you've justified kind of a tepid approach to church membership with some common misconceptions or maybe even some past abuses in your own experience, then allow yourself to be persuaded again by the joyful aim of church membership done rightly. Because God intends for your commitment to your own local church to actually fuel greater joy. Greater joy for you now as your soul benefits from the watchful soul care of your leaders. And greater joy for your leaders in all of eternity as their report will testify of your obedience and your submission to their teaching and counsel throughout all of your life. So now, Hebrews 13:17 is a timely call for all of us to pursue and cherish the joy of church membership. If you aren't yet a member of a local church, I urge you, prayerfully consider this text. Ask yourself, how can I possibly obey this verse while I'm at the same time refusing to publicly express my commitment to a local church through membership? Now, if you're one of our dearly loved, faithful attenders here, I think we have probably 200 of you here. We love you. You come every Sunday. But you're not members. Then I just want to say really boldly, you're missing out. You're missing out. Don't miss out on this joy. You're not being prayed for every week by our shepherds here. You aren't partnering with us in significant ministry together for the glory of God. You're not yet adding to the joy of your spiritual shepherds. And so if that's you, I'm just trying to use all the energy and all the passion I have left today to say, oh, don't miss out. Don't miss out on this joy. Pursue joy. Live for eternal joy. You say, well, can you get practical? Thank you for asking. Plan to attend one of our upcoming Discovering Church membership classes. The next scheduled class is on Saturday morning. It's in 3 hours, 9 a.m. to noon, March 12th. It's a three-hour investment, but I believe it will funnel you down a path towards great eternal joy. So here's my ask today. I'm going to be very specific in my call to action. If God is convicting you right now, and you believe God would have you to pursue some type of formal commitment to your local church, and your local church is Newcastle Bible Church, then I want you to take out that little check-in card, and I want on the front of that, there's a little box that says, I'm interested in learning more information about membership. I want you to check that box. And I want you to drop it in the tables at the exits. Or if you're online, you can submit it online. Because when you check that box and you turn your card in, that will be an invitation to us to correspond with you and share with you some upcoming information that would help you get the training you need to better understand what that practically looks like to pursue commitment to your local church family and submission to the soul care of the shepherds here. Because we are here to help you. We are here to help you for your spiritual joy. We are here to serve you for your eternal joy. Now, of course, if you're one of the 310 formal members that are currently part of Newcastle Bible Church, please allow this sermon to increase your joy in this God-given privilege. Cherish the joy of local church membership. Seek greater ways to obey and submit to your spiritual shepherds as they pray for you and as they teach you God's word and as they counsel you and they seek to encourage your faith in Christ. For truly, the advantage of local church membership is an advantage of everlasting and eternal joy. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. So Father, please, please do a work in us that is far beyond human explanation as we cast off the cultural pressures of and sinful tendencies of our heart and as we delight in your good design for our spiritual life together in the church. Father, I love these dear people. I pray for them. I pray that you would please strengthen them and encourage them in their faith. I pray that you'd help them to grow in Christ's likeness and in their understanding of what it looks like to do church together for your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.